I hid certain areas of my life from God's love. I said, all right, I'll take care of this area. I'll take care of my sexual brokenness. I'll take care of my eating disorder. I'll take care of how much I love my husband or whatever that is. And I remember, Arden, the day that God said to me, anything that is important to you, anything that holds you in bondage is important to me.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. I am your host, Arden Bevere, and today we have a very fun conversation for you all. I got to sit down with my mom, the beautiful Lisa Bevere, and we got to talk about the I am statement. I am loved, so I love without reservation. And for a lot of people have not seen the love of the Father in their life. And so sometimes they have a hard time carrying out that love to other people. They look at the mistakes, the things that they have wrong with them, the flaws, all that stuff that encompasses that life, and they feel like because of this, they either have to earn the love of the Father, they have to earn love, rather than being able to accept the love that God has given us and love others out of that place. So I am so excited as we dive deeper into this conversation about loving others without reservation. Okay, so today we are joined with my beautiful mother, and I am so excited that you agreed to do this because we are talking about the I am statement. I am loved, so I love without reservation. And, you know, what greater love? I mean, of course, what greater love is there than a father's love? But what greater love is a mother's love? I mean, that a Sicilian, Italian, growing up love that you showed to us. So I wanted to ask you a question before we jump into this. Was there any times growing up that you thought, I am going just to have to beat my child Arden because he is acting out so bad, when that love was...
No, you were always so sweet. No, there were other children I had those thoughts about, but never.
Maybe I just wanted that for the record, just so that I can have that. But I'm glad that you never wanted to... just beat me, and because I was going so insane or acting out so much.
I think you actually observed your brothers and were like, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. That does not get the right response from mom and dad. I think I'm going to just hold back on that.
Yeah.
I think you kind of thought your way through.
Not committing the same mistakes that the other generations have done, which is why we wanted to have this conversation.
And there's the segue.
Exactly. Is that we want to position this generation to love well. And part of that we've seen with this generation is we can get very excited about like the ideas and things, and we forget that people are ultimately those that we are supposed to love, not just this planet or, you know, things or ideas, but
love
we want to
love the people.
Exactly. We want to love people. And so I think, Mom, you know, we were just traveling this weekend and you were talking a little bit about how, you know, your story with just dad and dynamics. And I know the story behind your dad. I think oftentimes what we see is people don't know how to love because they've not seen that example of love. And so I wanted just to jump into this I am statement, just see kind of how that really looks like for you and how God's kind of revealed that in your life.
Yeah, well, it's one of my favorite I am statements. I am loved. And I think until we actually have that revelation of being loved deep down into our core, it's very difficult for us to love other people. And one of the things is I can look at myself and think, I don't love myself. Like, I'm a hot mess. This is not who I want to be. I'm not crazy about the way I'm acting. I don't think God's going to be really happy about it. But I know for me, Arden, first of all, I was raised to be an exceptional heathen. And I got saved at 21. Okay, about beating your child. No. And at 21, I got saved. And it wasn't because I heard I was going to hell. I actually knew I was headed straight there. But it was because I heard that God loved me. And that revelation of a God who loved me when I was still an enemy, when I didn't do anything lovely or loving, it was so all-encompassing that I was like, I want to become a Christian. I need to do this thing right now. And yet, even so, there were patterns in my life that I brought into my marriage where even though I had received God's love for me, I was very conditional with my love towards my husband. And I know that this last weekend you heard me say, I wish that I had been more fearless in my love, because people who love fearlessly live fearlessly. I don't think people understand loving fearlessly. If perfected love casts out fear, throwing yourself into loving others and receiving God's love for you, it is such an empowering dynamic. And so I, you know, been married, I was going to say 30 years, but it's 39. Almost 40 years. It's almost 40 years. Been married 39 years. And I can look back and there's things that I regret. And one of the things I regret was that I didn't love my husband fully early on. And it wasn't because I didn't like him. It was because I didn't know how to do it, Arden. Mm. I had watched every man in my life leave. My parents were divorced, remarried, divorced again. My grandmother was married four times. That was kind of her. But I just, you know, I saw my other grandmother widowed and then she had multiple husbands. I just didn't even know how can I give somebody my whole heart? Because if I give it to them and they leave, they're going to take my heart with them. And I didn't want to risk that. And so I remember you were probably about 4 years old at the time. And your dad and I had this moment where he just said to me, I don't know how long we have to be married before you realize I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to leave you. He said, I don't know if we're going to be 80 sitting in rocking chairs and you're going to look over at me and say, wow, you stayed. And he said, you know what, Lisa, I'm okay if that's what it takes, but we're going to miss a whole lot of fun in the in-between. And I realized that my husband was paying for the bad choices of my father. That because my father, coming from a broken family, did not know how to receive love or give love. And I realized, Arden, this was my chance to have a reset. And I got before God and I said, I don't want to do this to my husband. He doesn't deserve this. I don't know how to give my whole heart. I don't know how to say, I'm going to actually just love him. I'm going to let him make mistakes. I mean, my husband is a visionary, as you know, your father is a visionary. I mean, he will come up with these massive ideas that scare the bejeebies out of me. And I have learned that I wish I would have let him make more mistakes, because sometimes you make mistakes and it's actually what gets you on the right path for something else in the future. There's risk. There's always risk involved in loving. There's always risk involved in faith. But loving fearlessly is something that you'll never regret. Even if the person leaves you, you won't have to worry that, well, I didn't give it my all. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I thought, well, if I give half and it doesn't work out, I've saved half. No, if I give half and it doesn't work out, I'll always wonder, what if I'd given it all?
Yeah. And I think that's really important. I think it goes to the second part of that, is that I love without reservation. And I love what you said, because I think oftentimes what we think is like, oh, I love people, or I'm being loving, I'm showing that expression of God to people of love. It's just, I got to be nice to people. And I'm like, well, that, you know, that's not love. Like, you know, yes, that's a good thing. You should be nice to people. But oftentimes it does come back to that fatherly love that you've been shown. And I know that there's been a lot of people that have not been shown that fatherly love. And so they have a hard time really evaluating and very much taking in the Father's love, of God's love for us, because they see it through their earthly filter. And I do want to ask you that, because you said that was an issue with Dad, as you felt like, you know, hey, I'm going through this whole time and I've watched as people just always left me. Is mm-hmm. What would you encourage people or tell people? How do you, like, I love what you said about just getting and asking God, how can I love more fearlessly? Mm-hmm. But really, people who are navigating and struggling with, I've come from a broken family and I don't know what true love looks like, because I am equating it to the earthly loves mm-hmm. that I've experienced here.
Well, there was a couple of things that happened to me. First and foremost, God was so intentional to let me know that when I had been abandoned by my natural father, that it was actually adoption for him. And I mean, it's just like God looks at things so completely differently than you and I look at it. First of all, people will fail you. Not because they want to, but because they're flawed and they're human. So people will fail you. So anything you put into the care of people, you can lose. But anything you put into the care of God, then you will never lose that. And God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Mm-hmm. So even if your husband leaves, or your parents leave, or other people disappoint you, wife leaves, you know that you have deposited your heart in the keeping of God. And so you don't need to be afraid, because he's never going to leave or forsake you. And that was a huge thing for me. Also, knowing that my father's love was unconditional, not my natural father, my heavenly father. I still remember the person that I fought the most with growing up was my mom. My dad was disapproving and distant, but I didn't really fight with him, you know. And I remember the first time John and I were engaged and I went out to have dinner with this man that he and his wife had taken me under their wing and said, we're going to parent you as you're in this transition season to becoming a wife. And I remember he just looked at me and he said, you know, a father's love is unconditional. And Arden, I just burst into tears because I did not grow up because of my dad's own fears with that unconditional love. I was telling you earlier today that I was a competitive swimmer from the time I was 5 until the time I was 18, but I had an injury when I was 15 and I tore my Achilles tendon and I had to sit out because, you know, when you're a swimmer, you do flip turns, you push off the walls. It was the wrong thing to be doing.
Wait, did you tear it by flipping off a wall?
No, So I tore it because probably the same reason I injure myself now. I went straight from swimming to track. Uh-huh. And they pull your muscles in two different directions. And I did have the coach tell me to stretch before I did hurdles or any short sprints.
You didn't stretch.
I did not stretch. I thought, I'm just coming out of swimming. I'm in shape. And it knotted up on my calf. It was crazy. I just felt this bing, and then it was gone.
Yeah, I've gotten to that age where I found out I have to stretch now every time I go to the gym because I keep having
these
random little kinks and things like that coming in my back. But carry on. Sorry.
That's not so true. So I sat out, but I ate like I was in training. And in all honesty, I had no idea that I was gaining weight. I had no idea. I thought, oh, I'm growing. I mean, everything for me weight-wise had been a function of growth. And so I remember coming in from school one day and my dad's sitting in this big black chair, big black leather chair he'd always sit in smoking his cigarettes. And he was like, get over here. And right away, I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. I mean, my mind's racing. I was like, what have I done wrong? What am I going to be in trouble for? And he was like, turn around. I'm like, what? I turn around. He's like, your butt is huge. How much do you weigh? I said, I don't know. At camp, I weighed, and I told him my camp weight. And he's like, well, you're not at camp anymore. You go back and weigh yourself right now. And you come back and tell me what you weigh. And it was like the walk of shame.
Yeah.
I had never weighed myself except for physicals for school or camp. And I'm pretty sure at camp, they just want to make sure you're eating enough. And so I walked back to my parents' bathroom, got on the scales, walked back out, told my dad what I weighed, and he just berated me. He was like, you're fat. No guys are going to like you. Do you want to not go on dates? Mm-hmm. Do you want it? You want no one to like? And I just sat there and I was like, no. And he was like, I'm helping you right now. And I remember going back to my bedroom, stripping down, standing in my bra and underwear on top of my bed because we didn't have full length mirrors. And all I could see was a headless reflection of myself. And I thought, I hate that body. I'm going to punish that body. And that was the beginning of 6 years of an eating disorder. And it didn't start severe. It started mild. I started losing weight and I got affirmation. And I started to think, oh, if I'm thin, I deserve love. If I'm thin, I'm successful. If I'm thin, I get attention from boys. If I'm thin, I'm in control of my life. But you know, that eating disorder is like a tyrant and it will never, ever be pleased. So even with the eating disorder, to be honest with you, what healed me was the love of God. Mm-hmm. I hid certain areas of my life from God's love. I said, all right, I'll take care of this area. I'll take care of my sexual brokenness. I'll take care of my eating disorder. I'll take care of how much I love my husband or whatever that is. And I remember, Arden, the day that God said to me, anything that is important to you, anything that holds you in bondage is important to me. I want to be involved in this area of your life. Don't hide it in shame. Mm-hmm. Don't think you can manage it. Invite me into all of those areas. And it was his love. He was like, I don't want you skinny and weak. I want you strong and free. I want you to know I made your body. I want you to understand it was woven in wonder. I want you to know you can cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Mm-hmm. So everything is this exchange. Lisa, the things you can't carry, I want you to let me carry them for you. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. It doesn't mean we don't navigate issues or problems in our lives, but it does mean we don't carry the weight of that. or the burden of it.
Yeah, and I think I love that point that you made, that you've got that understanding of a father's love when you saw that and you were able to give that. But it also comes back to you were able to begin to love yourself, regardless of how you looked or anything like that. And just as the Bible says, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the beginning of love. Of course, the beginning of love is God's love, but we've got to understand this. We love what God has created us to be, and we love ourselves. We don't punish ourselves. We don't live in a place of shame or guilt or stress or anxiety. And I think that's what I'm seeing so much, especially in an isolated culture that we are in right now with everything going on, is people are punishing their bodies. Yeah. They're punishing themselves just as you did. And they're having a hard time, honestly, loving others because they're in such a place of punishment from their own selves. And some of the people, you know, they have outside factors that are playing into that where they're punishing them as well. But I'm seeing that more and more from this generation. And so I love that idea of giving it to God. And I would love maybe for you to speak more to just if there is a young woman on here that's navigating eating disorder. Like, I know we go into depth on talking about this I Am Loved conversation within the book. So if you guys haven't gotten the book, you can go get the book, I Am. You can get it anywhere books are sold. But I know you wrote about this as well. So yeah. I'd love for maybe you just to touch on that a little bit more.
Well, and I do feel, and this is going to sound perhaps like an overstatement at first, but I would love to unpack it. Our culture, I mean, it's largely fallen. I mean, I'm looking over there at your Roman bust, and the Roman culture became a culture of gratification and appetite. And the goal of a fallen culture is to be sexually attractive. If I am sexually attractive, whether that's powerful, thin, you know, beautiful, whatever that is. And so that goal is the woman on the cover. You know, that woman, and so she taunts us, but it's this image that you can actually never reach because it's a false image. It's not even a real image. And so what happens is, I remember I had been a heathen, like I said, and in my heathen world, I abused my body. I would starve it. I would take laxatives. I would take diuretics. I was hospitalized right before I became a Christian. I had spent 3 days in the hospital because of the eating disorder, but I lied about it. I didn't tell anybody that's what it was. They're like, we're not sure what's going on with your body. I'm like, I don't even know. You know? And when I heard about the love of God, I realized that he wanted to heal me, but he didn't want to just fix it on the outside. He wanted to go to the very root of it. So back then, you know, Christians did not drink at all. There's no drinking as a Christian, but there's a lot of eating. And so all of a sudden I exchanged my excessive drinking for excessive eating. So I'm not really free. I've just shifted where the bondage is. And I remember going to try on my wedding gown, and I was actually a pretty large size for me, not large for other people. And I had bought a size 10 wedding gown, hoping I could be down to that size. And I went in to try it on, and they said, there's no way we can even zip this up. Mm-hmm. Like, you have gained so much weight. You cannot zip this up. And I went home. I'm crying. I'm angry. I'm angry at myself, but I'm actually angry at God too. And I was like, I become a Christian. I give you my life. Like, it was some kind of big reward for him. And this is what happens to me. I mean, he was not the one force feeding me chocolate chip cookie dough and microwaved. And he was not the one that force fed me to eat an entire Domino's pizza. And I'm on my face and I'm crying and crying. And I'm picturing how my dad is going to respond, that he has paid this much money for my wedding gown that I have eaten my way out of. I'm picturing all of this stuff and crying and crying. And I hear the Holy Spirit whisper to me, Lisa, your weight is an idol to you. Mm. It's what you draw your strength from, and it's what you give your strength to. See, I should have no God but God. So if he is that, that's what I give my strength to. That's what I get my strength from. Food is an idol to you. Mm. How you look is an idol to you. And he said, I do not want you skinny and weak. I want you strong and free. He said, I want you to stop dieting. I want you to stop weighing yourself. He said, I want you to go on a 3-day fast. I was like, wait, you just said no dieting. What do you mean to go on a 3-day fast? That's even more severe. And he said, a diet changes the way you look, but a fast changes the way you see. And in that fast, he was like, no running. Sarah wasn't beautiful because she ran aerobics in the desert. Mm-hmm. Said that Sarah was beautiful because she refused to give way to fear. Yeah. And fear always says, what about me? What about mine? And so I remember, this is back in the day of a Walkman. I had a Walkman with cassette tapes. So I went walking with my Walkman on, listening to worship tapes, just walking. 3 days fasting, it dealt with the sugar cravings, the salt cravings. And then God said, I'm going to teach you how to eat until you're satisfied and not until you're in pain. And this is crazy, Artem. Do you know that about 6 months ago, they did a test on me and they told me that I have this gene that they call the death by buffet gene. They said the gene does not tell the person when they're full. He said, you could literally eat yourself to death. And yet God, back then when I was 21 years of age, so I'm 61 now, he said, I'm going to do that for you. He's like, baby girl, you're wired broken, but I'm going to love that area of your life to a place of wholeness. And he just said, okay, give this to me. And God has been faithful. I'm 61. I'm strong. I'm healthy. He's been faithful to just help me navigate life with energy and strength and vitality. Birth 4 children. Mm-hmm. So many people that have had eating disorders have a really hard time having children later on in life. I've seen other women get totally free. But again, it wasn't because I did an exercise diet program. It was because I received his love and I actually believed that he cared about what was important to me, that he cared for me. Now, again, he wasn't saying, I only care for you if you're thin. That's nonsense. He loved me into a place where I felt comfortable in my own skin. And I think a lot of times we don't understand when we hate our bodies or when we hate who God made us to be. It's like a slap in his face. He wove us in wonder. Mm-hmm. He was like, I want someone just like you. And you're like, no, I want to be like them. And he's like, no, I want you. I love you, the real you. You are the one. And I wouldn't love you more if you'd been a boy or a girl. I wouldn't love you more if you had blonde hair. What? I love the real you. Mm-hmm. And often I don't think people realize that what we look like is the least example of who we really are. Yeah. Who we really are is an unseen. Yeah. We're spirit.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember you always used to tell us that when we were boys, like if we were like, oh, we don't like our nose. You'd be like, hey, that's my nose. You're like, that's my nose. You're like, you are directly insulting me because you came from me. But yeah, that's what we do is we look at all the faults and the flaws that are within ourselves. And we're having a hard time loving who God created us to be. And God said, I created you in my image. And so you are supposed to reflect me and not change or compare, contrast and say, I want these things. Or I love that you said like, God, you would love me more if I was this or this, because that's not God's love. It's unconditional. And I think, you know, when what you saw with your father, where your father was harsh on you because you were overweight at the time. I doubt you were even overweight, but feeling like you were overweight at the time.
I was overweight in my father's eyes for sure.
Yeah.
And I was quite a bit shorter than I am now, and I weighed quite a bit more. Yeah, so it was probably on the upper tier of what was healthy for me. But the truth is, my father was not speaking to me out of love.
Yeah.
He was speaking to me out of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a child of refugees.
When he said, like, do you want to do this? It wasn't, hey, I love you so much.
This isn't healthy.
See you healthy. Yeah.
You've always been an athlete. It wasn't like that. It was, you are going to be rejected if you don't get this right.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. You will not be loved. You will not be seen. You will not be celebrated. Yeah. You have to get these things right. And that is not the way God is.
Yeah.
He loves us into places of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And so it begins with the love. You know, I also remember, Artem, when your dad and I were first starting in the ministry, and you got to understand, ministry when we were young, you and Christian are just so far ahead of us. I was 27, 28 years of age. So I was about your age. And I remember, you know, thinking, okay, I want God to use me. God, I want you to use me. I want you to do this. And one day, he just interrupted my prayer and he said, I don't use people. Yeah, I love them.
Wow.
And he said, did you have a boyfriend that used you, Lisa? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you're not supposed to remember that. He was like, how did that feel? And I said, it felt like a betrayal. Mm-hmm. Now, God will use things in our life, but who I am to God is more important than what I can do for him. Yeah. And I think that is where that love comes in. He isn't like, I love Lisa because she wrote a book. He isn't like, I love Lisa because she's Arden's mom. That is my roles. That is not identity. Mm-hmm. Identity is woven in who I am in Christ. And he loves each of us individually like he loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't even compute in our brain, but God doesn't have love for us. He is love for us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Mm-hmm. And he draws us with loving kindness. So there's just love all around.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Mom, seriously, thank you so much for taking time and actually doing this through a move, having the dog outside whining and just sitting here in our living room. But having this conversation, because I do think this is a very healing conversation. This was kind of a last minute throw in that we were like, hey, let's do this. And I know that we have an audience who, there's some people that are navigating and struggling with this. Yes. And these are the conversations we have to have. We have to create space for them to be able to understand this. But then we as a generation have to begin to show love that is God's love, not just the world's love. We have to show God's love in such a way that the world's going to see the church do it different. And so that begins by having this conversation, having these kind of conversations and showing, you know, the love manifested into your life. So Mom, thank you so much for taking time and pouring into our audience.
This will be my favorite thing I did today.
Okay. Awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I hope it was very healing to a lot of you. I know that there's a lot of people that are struggling with these kind of things and maybe don't know who to talk to about. And I want to encourage you to find some godly people that can help walk you through these seasons of life. Find people that are not going to just address the symptoms, but they're actually going to go down to the root. If you guys haven't picked up a copy of I Am, we went deeper into one of the chapters in the book. And so you definitely want to get the I Am book. You can purchase that book anywhere books are sold. You can go to Amazon, which is where we recommend the most, and type in I Am Sons and Daughters book, and that will get you directly to it. If you guys are new to our channel, please make sure to leave a comment, like, and subscribe to the channel. We love hearing from you guys. And until next time, this has been Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters.